Colossians 1, verses 9 through 22. How should we listen to these words?
Very carefully.
Why?
Because they are the words of God.
Yes, Colossians 1, verses 9 through 22. Let us give our hearts to the hearing of these words, for they are the words of God. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church. He who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. Lessons, this reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. So the apostle, by the Holy Spirit, is praying for the Colossians, and the main request for, he requests some things, but they are in order that other things would happen. And the main request that he's praying would happen is in verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Who would like to live in a way that pleases God? I hope all of you would. If you know who He is and what He's done for you, if you know who He is and that you owe Him, even if you haven't been saved, everyone should walk in a way that pleases God. Who would like to be fruitful in every good work? I would like to be fruitful in every good work. So the apostle is praying that the Colossians would walk in a way worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. Now, in order of that, he prays that they would be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And the Lord has blessed us to be studying this and hearing it at a time when we're also hearing from 1 Corinthians 2 and 3, but especially chapter 2, that spiritual wisdom is all about whom? Who is at the center of all spiritual wisdom? who is at the center of God's plan in this world, the things that he has devised for his people that eye could not see or ear could not hear or the heart of man understand or imagine. That if the powers of this world had known it, they would not have crucified Jesus, the Lord of glory. It's all about who Jesus is. And that's what he goes on to say in verses, you know, from verse 15 through verse 20. It's all about Jesus, how Jesus would have the first place, that Jesus created everything, that Jesus rules over every power, that Jesus holds all things together, that Jesus is even the head of the church. Now, that's a very different way of thinking. A lot of people, even who call themselves Christians today, who think that the church is some optional organization for the weak, that there are those Christians out there who can have a good relationship with God and don't even need the church. The churches are full of hypocrites and people who hold to a standard that they don't even keep. Well, since the only standard is the perfection of God and his law, and none of us keep it, I guess that would make everyone who follows the Bible a hypocrite. And since the church is not only Jesus' first plan for the first place he wants us to serve and the way that he works in us, then I guess those people are wiser than Jesus. But I don't want to think that I'm wiser than Jesus or act as if I'm wiser than Jesus. And then I come to Colossians chapter 1 and I see this build up where he talks about everything that he's created. And then he talks about the thrones and dominions and principalities and powers as another level up. Those who seem to be something to the world. And then at the top, that which has God's focus in all of his work in history is the church, which is Jesus' own body. And he is the head of the body, the church. Who is the head of the body, the church? The one who is the beginning is the head of the body, is the head of the church. The one who is the firstborn from the dead is the head of the body, the head of the church. Why is he the head of the church? Verse 18, so that in all things he may have the preeminence. Just to say that in all things he may have the first place. The church is God's focus in history. It is the very body of Jesus Christ. It is the most important thing in all of creation in this entire age. You want to know what all of history is about? It is about the saving and sanctifying and gathering of and perfecting. Those are the same thing. Saving and gathering and sanctifying and perfecting. All of history is about the gathering and perfecting of Christ's church. That's the kingdom that is forever. That's the kingdom that cannot be shaken. That's the only thing in this world that continues into the next. Everything else is burned up, right? Those who are in Christ, new creation. The church is forever. And so we have this glorious picture of Christ. And we say, so long as we know that the church is all about him, that he is the head over the church, that the church is his body, that the people that we gather with in our congregation are joined to Jesus by faith, and they are body parts, and they are to be treated with all the love and respect, and they are to be served with all the effort that belongs to Jesus. And we should look forward to meeting with them like we look forward to meeting with Jesus. And we should be careful not to harm them like we would be careful not to attack Jesus. And then we can turn that also, and we can remember that he thinks that way about us, that we are his very own and we belong to him. That's the transaction in verses 11 through 14. that we were in the kingdom of darkness, or that we were, under the power of darkness, and we have been carried into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. How did that happen? Verse 14. In whom we have redemption, that is, purchase through his blood, that is, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus went to the cross, and the purchase price, so that we would be saved from darkness and could be brought into his kingdom and given the power of his strength to live in a way that pleases him, the purchase price was his own blood. And he, for the joy set before him, gave himself and spilled his own blood for us so that he would purchase us. We don't belong to ourselves. A lot of opportunities in this life to make a choice. Do I belong to myself or do I belong to Christ? Every moment, every day that you have something that you ought to do, and it's different than what you feel like doing, you have that opportunity to answer that question, don't you? Do what I feel like doing? I belong to myself. Do what I ought to do? I belong to Jesus, right? He purchased me, bought me by his blood. And so the thing that will enable us to live as those who belong to him is to remember who he is and all his glory, that he is the living God himself who became a man to buy us, in order to buy us, to purchase us by his blood. Let's pray. Our Lord and Redeemer Jesus Christ, I pray for all these, your children in this house, including myself and my wife, that you would help us in those moments when we are tempted to live as if we belong to ourselves, to remember that you are God who created us, that you gave yourself for us, that you took on flesh and blood, a real human body and a real human soul, in order that you might offer yourself for us on the cross, that you might purchase us by your blood. Your love is amazing, and it is when we see your love that we love you, because you first loved us and we're enabled then to obey your commandments and to serve you and to love those who belong to you as your very own body. Lord, since that's how it all works and it all starts with remembering how you have loved us at the cross, we pray that you would keep your cross on the forefront of our minds, even as we do our school, even as we do our chores, even as we do our jobs. Grant unto us not to grumble or to indulge ourselves, but to remember you. For we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus, and your children and your say.
Amen.
Amen.